Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everyone. How are we doing on this wonderfully sunny but cold 11 a.m. gathering? Are we good? Oh, okay, about five people are awake. That's okay, but it's 11 o'clock in the morning. I reckon we should be a little bit more awake. So let's wake everyone up. Are we doing good this morning? Yes, there we go. There are my people. There are my awake people. That's fantastic. Well, my name is Sadara, and I have the pleasure of being on the staff team here at The Rocks Church, and I also have the pleasure of speaking to you this morning, which I'm so excited about. But before I dive into my message, I just wanted to take a little bit of time to address something that happened in our 11 a.m. gathering last Sunday. So perhaps you were here, or perhaps you heard about it from someone, but we had to evacuate our building in our 11 a.m. gathering last week, and that was due to a medical emergency involving one of our members. And this person had a little bit of an issue with regards to their mental health, and so they were making some false threats. There was no imminent danger, there was no viable harm, but it's always best to follow protocol in those situations to be safe. And so we did that, and the relevant authorities were called, and upon their instruction, we did in fact evacuate the building. But you'll be pleased to know that the situation was completely resolved safely and correctly, and Pastor Daniel even managed to finish his sermon. So it all ended fine. But we just wanted to say a very big thank you. If you were here, thank you for your cooperation, thank you for your patience, and also thank you for your understanding. We really appreciate it. And if you have any other questions in relation to that incident, please do come and chat to myself or to John, and we'll be more than happy to try and answer your questions as best we can. Is that all right? I'm gonna take that as a yes. Cool. Okay, well, that was last week, and this is this week, and as John mentioned, we are in the final week of our series that we started earlier this month called Relational Vampires. And if you've been following along for the last 2 weeks, you'll know that this series, Relational Vampires, it deals with how to love people that suck the very life out of us. You know how normal vampires, they suck the blood out of us? Well, relational vampires, they suck the life out of us. And I know, you don't know anybody like that. There's nobody like that in your life. There's nobody like that in my life either, John. But apart from, I'm just kidding, I love John. John is great. But today, we're going to be talking about a specific type of relational vampire. How do we love this type of relational vampire? How do we deal with this kind of relational vampire? And as we get started, why don't you bow your heads and pray along with me? Father, we thank you for the power of your word. Thank you that these are not just words on a page, but we believe that your word is alive, it's living, it's active, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It can cut through to the very core of who we are. And this morning, I believe, Father, that you have a message for us, that you have a word for us, and that's going to impact how we see our lives and how we see the people around us. So God, Holy Spirit, would you just come and would you open up our hearts to receive this word that you have for us? May it take deep root in our hearts so that we will be impacted in a way that changes our lives both now and forever. We ask all of these things in your mighty name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amazing. Well, if you've been around the block for a little bit, if you've been here before, maybe for a few months, then perhaps you'll have probably come across me talking about my mom, my lovely mom, Renuka, who I love very much. But in case this is your first time, maybe you're here as a guest. Welcome, by the way. We love that you're here. I decided that we shouldn't leave you out of the loop, so I brought along another picture with me. And this is a picture of my mom, and actually this is the picture of our family. I think you can probably see it better on the side screen. So that's my mom on the far left of the picture, that's my dad, that's myself, and that's my brother. We took that picture at a wedding that we attended in Sri Lanka last year. Now, so my mom, Renuka, amazing woman that she is, I'm gonna let you in on a little private family joke this morning. I know it's not gonna be very private after I share it, but I feel like that's okay. In this Uddalagama household, we have a running joke that if anyone ever in the world at any point in time asks my lovely mom, Renuka, how she's doing, she has one stock standard answer, and it's this. My, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. That's what she says. She said that when we were growing up. She said that when we were all grown up. She said that when she was working, and she said that when she retired. She says it when she's on holiday, when she's in the car, when she's lying down, when she's standing, when she's sitting, and when she's walking. That is her stock standard answer. I'm so busy. My mom's actually going to be watching this on YouTube later, so hi, Mom. Love you. I'm sure I'll get a call later on in the day. But you see, if I was to take a poll here in this room, and if I was to ask you, how is your life in general? Would you find that your life is busy? Is it hectic? Is it stressful? I dare say that the majority of us would have the same answer as my mum does. How many of us, when we are asked, how are we doing, do we say, oh, I'm just so busy? Because the truth is, we are, aren't we? We are busy. In fact, Bridget Schultz, she's a journalist with the Washington Post, she said this in her book. She said, somewhere around the end of the 20th century, busyness became a way of life. We live in a day and age where it's normal to be busy. It's normal to be stressed. We live in a constant state of go, a constant state of being exhausted, a constant state of having to do things and having to get to things. And there's an endless list of demands on our energy and our time. Life has become this great juggling act where we're trying to keep all the balls in the air, all the while praying to God that He provides us miraculously with another pair of hands. And I wonder, in all this stressing and hurrying and busying and balancing and juggling, I wonder if we've ever stopped to ask ourselves the question, is this what life is really about? This constant stress and hurry and worry and anxiety, and is this it? Is this what God created me for? Is this what life is really all about? And then I read in the book of Genesis, which for anyone here who's not familiar with the Bible, is the first book of the Bible. And in it, it talks about how God created the world, and then He created us, humanity. And it says this in Genesis chapter 1. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, govern it, rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and the animals that scurry along the ground. Those were God's first instructions to humanity, to Adam and Eve. Be fruitful, multiply. Thrive, rule, fill the earth, subdue it, reign, flourish. Does that sound like you that God said, stress, hurry, worry, juggle, balance, live, exist, survive? Is that what God meant? In John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come so that they may have life, and life to the full. You see, God created us to have life, and Jesus came to give us life. And not just any kind of life. He came to give us a rich, a glorious, abundant, a deeply satisfying life that is full of passion and vigor and energy and glory and joy and faith and hope. And I wonder, I just wonder, in all of our busying and hurrying and stressing and worrying, and I wonder, have we forgotten to do what we were created for in the first place? Have we forgotten what it is to truly live? Have we forgotten what it is to truly be alive? In all of this stressing and hurrying and worrying and anxietying, have we all the while drained and depleted and dried up this God-given life that He has for us? In other words, have we become the very thing that we've been talking about for the past 2 weeks? Have we ourselves become a relational vampire, but a different kind of vampire, a vampire that lives within? And with the rest of my time this morning, I want to talk about, what do we do when we look at our lives and we realize that, yes, you know, there are people that drain, that suck the life out of us, critical people, controlling people. We talked about them in the last 2 weeks. And yes, there are situations and circumstances around my life that drain and suck the life out of me. But when I look objectively at my life, I find that the biggest relational vampire that I have is, in fact, me. You see, I've got so preoccupied with stressing and hurrying and busying and worrying and being anxious that I've forgotten what it is to truly live a rich and glorious and deeply satisfying life that God always intended for me to live. And that, it sucks the very life that God intended for me out of me. And so we're going to take a little look at how we deal with the vampire that lives within. How do we stop sucking the life out of us so that we can live the life that God intended for us? And in order to do that, I believe that we need to go back to when we first had this glorious, rich, and satisfying life, back to when God created it, back to the Garden of Eden, back to the book of Genesis, because that's where it all started, but it's also where it all went wrong. And we find that moment in Genesis chapter 3 in verse 1. It says this. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'Well, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but yes, God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.' 'You will certainly not die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Verse 6, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." And there it is, the moment that sin first entered the world. And it was also the moment that Adam and Eve, the first humans, instead of flourishing in the garden like God had intended, instead of thriving and multiplying and ruling and filling the earth and subduing it and living this glorious, rich life that God had created for them, they started hiding. And I believe in this exchange that we read between the serpent and Eve, that Eve lost two very critical things that are keys to flourishing and living the abundant life that God calls us to live. And I believe that when we lose those things, we too lose this God-given life that God intends for us. So here's the first one I want to talk about. First one I want to talk about is purpose. Purpose. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, you know what, this is all great. Sid, I love that you're talking about this full, this rich, this deeply satisfying, abundant, glorious life. It's quite cute, really. That's really great. But you don't understand what my life is like. You don't understand what I'm dealing with. You don't understand how chaotic my life is right now. I've got 7 kids to feed. I've got a husband with man flu, and we all know how exhausting that is. I've got a dog who chews my slippers. I've got a business that's failing. My finances are a mess. I've got a parent who's terminally ill and a child that won't sleep through the night. I understand that you're talking about God having a rich and glorious and fulfilling life for me, but actually as I see it, as I stand right now, right in the middle of my circumstances, I don't know how on earth I'm allowed to flourish. Flourish, thrive, I can barely survive. I can actually even barely exist. So what do you mean when you say that God wants me to flourish and thrive and live abundantly and gloriously? How do I manage to do that? And Jesus answers this question with a question of his own in Matthew chapter 11. He says this. He says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Do you know that there are certain rhythms of your life that you have grace for in this season that you don't have grace for in any other season of your life. The unforced rhythms of life. There are rhythms and patterns of your life that you have grace for, that you are graced for in this season of your life that you won't be graced for in the next season and you weren't graced for in the last season. The unforced rhythms of grace. And the key to living a life that's full and rich and glorious and abundant like God intends us to is to find those unforced rhythms of grace in this season of your life. And how do you do that? You do that by discovering the purpose in this season of your life. And when you find it, you must fight to keep it because it's the first thing the enemy tries to take. Watch this. Eve, right from the very beginning, she knew what her purpose was. Why? Because God told her. God told her, hey, listen, Adam and Eve, you are to be fruitful. You are to multiply. You are to increase. You are to rule. You are to fill the earth and subdue it. That's what you're supposed to do. And yet Eve, knowing what she knew, what did Eve do? Eve traded her purpose for a possibility. Eve traded her purpose for a possibility. Watch the serpent's language in Genesis 3, chapter 5. It says, you will certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The serpent tells Eve, hey, listen, don't worry about it. You won't die. No, you won't die. God just knows that if you eat from the fruit, that your eyes will be opened and you will be what? You will be like God. And in that moment, Eve lost sight of the importance of her own purpose in life. And as she kept listening to the voice of the enemy, as she kept listening to the voice of the serpent, she traded her purpose for a possibility. The possibility of being like someone else. The possibility of being like God. Eve wanted different. She wanted more. She wanted other than she already had. She wanted to be different than she already was. And here's the thing. Oftentimes, when we don't understand the importance, the significance of the purpose that we carry in the season that we're in right now, we too trade our purpose for a whole heap of possibilities. We too desire to be different. We too desire to have other. We too desire to be more than we already are and more than we already have. We say, oh, I wish I looked like them, then I would be happy. Oh, I wish I had that much money in the bank account like them, then I would be comfortable. Oh, I wish my life looked like theirs. Oh, I wish I could do that. Oh, I wish, I hope, I want, I think I... And just like Eve, we forget about the whole garden that we do have, and we long for the one tree that we don't. We stop living abundantly as we are because we lose sight of why we are, where we are. And that's called losing purpose. You see, purpose, it opens our eyes up to what this life is really all about. Purpose gives us a lens in which to look at life and see that God, this creator, he creates life to be like tapestries woven together. And he calls us to a place that is bigger and larger to live an extraordinary life right in the middle of where we are. And as we fulfill our purpose in this season, as a mother, as a father, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, as a university student, as a son, as a daughter, as a mother-in-law, as a grandfather, as a man, as a woman, as a human being, we find life and life to the full. Exactly in the middle of where we are. You see, purpose gives us an eye to see that God calls us to a place that is bigger and larger than we even realize, right in the middle of where we are. Yes, as you clean that sick off the carpet. Yes, as you finish your 17-hour workday. Yes, as you write the millionth book report. Yes, as you feed those 7 kids and as you tend to your husband with the man flu. You see, whatever you do, you find life and life to the full when you do it with purpose. When you do it with purpose. The Bible says, don't despise the day of small things. There is extraordinary life hidden right in the middle of your ordinary one. Extraordinary life hidden right in the middle of your ordinary one. You just need eyes to see the purpose. And when you have eyes to see the purpose, you also have eyes to see the blessing and not just the boundary. You have eyes to see the life and not just the lack. You have eyes to see the promise and not just the pain. And then you find that instead of feeling trapped and overwhelmed and resentful, you start feeling thankful and you start getting grateful. And gratitude is an attitude that leads to life. Gratitude is an attitude that leads to life. So if we want to start getting back to living this life that God intended us to live, living rich and glorious, deeply satisfying, fulfilling lives, then we need to start seeing why we are where we are. And that's called purpose. Here's the second one. The second key to living a gloriously rich, satisfying life is perspective. Perspective. You know, Eve was right in the middle of everything God had created. She was right there, right in the very center. She could see the trees, she saw the rivers, she saw the birds, she saw the beasts, she saw the land and the sea, the sun and the moon, everything that God had created, this glorious paradise. And yet, when the crucial moment came, she listened not to the voice of God, but she listened to the voice of the serpent. And the minute that she did, her whole perspective changed. What she once found to be a blessing, what she once found to be bountiful, what she once found to be beautiful, what was once sufficient, suddenly, all of a sudden, was not enough. One voice, something she heard, changed what she now saw. And what she now saw changed what she then did. You see, what we hear will impact what we see, and what we see will impact what we do. Our perspective determines how we experience our life. And maybe, just maybe, this morning, perhaps one of the keys to getting back to living a life of purpose, of living a life that's rich and glorious and full and abundant like God calls us to, is to change what we're hearing so we can change what we're seeing, and that in turn will change what we're doing. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 21, it says, "The tongue holds the power of life and death." The tongue holds the power of life and death. And the minute the serpent started talking to Eve, he started talking words of death to her. Watch this. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, his first phrase, he says, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" He starts with a question. Did God really say? Is that what he really meant? Is that really important? Do you think that is it? How many of us still to this day question the things that we already know, question the things that we've already seen, question the things that we've already heard? What about his second phrase, Genesis 3, chapter 4? "You will not certainly die." There, he introduces a lie. Because you see, they didn't die externally that day, but something on the inside of them died, their innocence. And how many of us still to this day listen to voices that lead to death instead of words that lead to life? What about his third phrase? Genesis 3, chapter 5, Genesis 3, verse 5. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And there, right there, was the kicker. God knows, Eve, that you will be like him. If you eat this fruit, he knows that you will be like him. And God doesn't want that for you. He's holding out on you. He doesn't have your best interests at heart. He's withholding from you. You can't trust him. Doubt. All it took were three simple phrases. Started with a question, progressed to a lie, and that was enough to implant doubt. Three simple phrases. And just like that, it was all done. You see, the truth is that Eve should have never listened to that voice that day. Eve should have stepped on that serpent instead of speaking to it. And there are people all across the world still speaking to serpents they should be stepping on. How many of us in this day and age as we sit here, how many of us still listen to the voices that question, who do you think you are? Why do you think you matter? Don't you remember what you've done? Don't you remember where you came from? Why do you think this time will be different? Do you think God loves you? How many of us still listen to questions that plague us, questions that lead to death? How many of us still listen to lies that say we're not good enough, pretty enough, smart enough, this enough, that enough? How many of us still listen to the doubts that the enemy whispers in our ears, doubts that God loves us, doubts that he's for us, doubts that he has a plan for us, doubts that he wants to prosper us and not to harm us, doubt that he's forgiven us, doubt that he will never forsake us? How many of us live lives listening to voices that lead to death? So perhaps, just maybe this morning, for some of us, the key is that we need to change the voices that we're listening to. Perhaps, just perhaps, we need to chase away some serpents and chase away some snakes this morning. The Bible says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing what? Hearing the Word of God. And we have the Word of God right at our fingertips. Sometimes maybe it's okay now to just open the Word of God and start talking so that you can start hearing. Start talking loud and start talking proud so that we'll drown out those voices that lead to death, drown out the voices that lead to lies, drown out the voices that lead to doubt, drown out the voices that suck and drain the life out of us, and instead start listening to the voice that leads to life and life forevermore. In Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, it overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 34, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." Romans 8:38, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor present nor the future, nor the powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Some of us need to start talking so that we can start hearing. We need to start talking loud, and we need to start talking proud so that we listen to the voices that lead to life. Listen to the voices that lead us into this rich, abundant, glorious, deeply satisfying life that God always intended for us. And when we start listening, when we start talking, we can start hearing. And when we start hearing, we'll change what we're seeing. And that in turn will change how we act. We're always called to act like Adam and Eve were first called to act. We were always called to be multipliers. We were always called to be fruitful, to increase, to rule, to fill the earth, to subdue it. You were created to flourish, created to thrive, created to be fully alive. Fully alive. And there's a man named St. Irenaeus, and he said one of my favorite statements of all time. He said, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." Isn't that beautiful? The glory of God is a human being who's fully alive. And I love that because it captures the very essence of what it means to live. Every fiber of our being awake and alert and aware of the presence of our God. A man like that, a woman like that, a person like that, they point to the glory of God because they're fully alive. And as I look at Eve standing in the garden there that day, surrounded by all the beauty and the wonder of creation, rivers and trees and fruit and birds and beasts and sun. And she sees the one tree that wasn't to be touched. And the serpent comes and he says, "Hey, Eve, this is all great. But you know what? You could be more. You know, if you just eat this fruit, if you take a bite of this fruit, you could be like God." And in that moment, Eve asked herself a question. Eve asked herself, can I be more? Can I be like God? And perhaps there was a question within that question. And perhaps it's a question that we're all asking still to this day. Not out loud, not to anyone else, but we carry this question deep in the recesses of our heart, down in the depths of our soul. And it eats us alive because this question, it sucks the life out of us. Because this question, it makes us feel unworthy and inadequate and insignificant. And if we don't learn to answer this question correctly, it'll continue to suck the life and drain the life of God out of us. And here's what I believe this question is. Am I enough? Am I enough? Am I enough as a man? Am I enough as a woman? Am I enough as a mother? Am I enough as a father? Do I measure up? Am I enough as a son? Am I enough as a daughter? Am I enough as a Christian? Am I enough as a human being? Do I measure up? Am I enough just as I am? Am I? And if you take nothing away from this morning, I hope you do take away this. I want you to leave here knowing that you are enough. And let me tell you why. Because all the while Eve wondered if she could be more. All the while Eve wondered, can I be like God? Do you know what the very sad thing is? The very sad thing is that she already was. She already was like God. Remember the verses that we read right at the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1? It said, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. She already was like God, created in the very image of him. Can I be more Eve? You already are. And I already am. And you already are too. You are created in the image of God. You are enough because you are created in the very image of the one who is always enough. But you see, when you give away your purpose and you lose your perspective, you also give away your identity. You forget who you already are. And who you already are is more than enough for all that you are called to carry in this life. You were created to live a life of glorious abundance. You were not created to be a relational vampire, allowing life to just drain out of you. No, you are a life giver. You are a life bringer. You are a life carrier. You were supposed to multiply, increase, fill the earth, subdue it. You are Eve, you are Adam, you are a son, you are a daughter of the Most High King. And you are enough, exactly as you are. And as we close this morning, I want to leave you with a thought from a lady named Melissa Kamara Wilkins. And she says this, you are enough means that you don't have to strive to become more worthy, more valid, more acceptable, or more loved. You already are all of those things. There are things you might want to be more of, more open, more honest, more true, more authentic, more free, more connected, more intentional, more purposeful. But those are all expressions of your enoughness. They aren't about completely changing yourself, they're about being yourself. You were enough before and you are enough now, and you will continue to be enough as you become more of who you were made to be. That's what I mean when I say that you are enough, and you are. You don't have to do everything. You don't have to be everything. You just have to be you and live like you mean it. And live like you mean it. I wonder, as we close our gathering this morning, would you stand with me all across this room? I believe that there are some people here who need to be reminded again of who they are, that they are sons and daughters of the Most High King, that you've lived life worried and stressed and anxious. And listen, hey, we're all there. We've all been there, but we don't have to stay there. There is life, abundant, rich, glorious life right in the middle of where you are with all of your stresses and with all of your worries and with all of your anxieties. You are enough because God has equipped you with everything you need to carry all that He has called you to carry. And this morning, I'm here to remind you who you are, who God says you are, that you are a son, that you are a daughter, that you are honored and precious in His sight, that He sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross for your sins so that you could have a relationship with Him. That's how much He loved you. He sent you what He was most precious about so that He could gain what was most precious to Him. And what is most precious to Him is you, it's me. He gave us His only Son so that we would have a way back, so that we would have life, and life, glorious, abundant, rich, deeply satisfying life. We would have life and life to the full. And I want to remind you this morning as we sing this song now, that you can remind yourself, that you can allow the Spirit of God to speak to you right now where you're at, with all of your stresses, with all of your worries, with all of your anxieties. Let Him remind you who you are, remind you that you are enough, that He created you to flourish, to thrive, to be fully alive.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website, visit therocks.church.